we're taking the guesswork out of it. So because we have these sensors, the sensor inside the frame, we do this by measuring differential air pressure. So as air flows through the filter and dust collects on the filter face, the pressure between the front and the back increases. So we measure that difference, and then using our proprietary algorithms that we have running in the cloud, we can calculate exactly when it's time to change your filter. And we'll send you a notification. We'll send you an email. We'll send you a notification on your phone, and you know exactly when.
Budget overruns, brick devices, data breaches. Building connected products is hard. Welcome to Over the Air. Sharp, unfiltered conversations with executives about their IoT journeys, the mistakes they made, the lessons they learned, and what they wish they'd known when they started. I'm your host, Ryan Prosser.
Welcome back to Over the Air, IoT Connected Devices and the Journey. My name is Ryan Prosser, CEO of Verri, and today we're joined by Mark Dodd, Head of IoT at Woosh. We're going to be talking about a topic near and dear to my heart, infusing IoT in disposable / consumable products. Mark, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Ryan. It's a pleasure to be here.
So we'll dive into this, obviously, at greater length. But for those that don't know, you guys are a newer company. Tell the folks at home about Woosh.
Quite simply, Woosh is a system that retrofits your existing HVAC system to become a smart air home purification solution. This is accomplished through a couple of things. The first part, of course, is our smart air filter, which has electronics inside to let the user know exactly when the air filter needs to be changed. It is a high-quality MERV 13 air filter. And when it's paired with our quality monitor, automatically cleans the air inside your home by communicating with your smart thermostat. We support all the big ones, Honeywell, Nest, you could be as sensitive.
So let's jump right into it. I think one of the things that's fascinating, the reason we wanted to have you guys on the show is this idea of consumables, but that's my second question. Within the world of air filters, connected air filters, like why?
It's a great question. The existing air filter that most consumers are familiar with, made out of cardboard, has a lot of glue. It's got some metal in there to keep the plates from deforming. You put this thing in and you're told to change it at some predetermined amount of time that someone has just made up. Could be 3 months, 6 months, 1 year. No one really has a good idea of why that is supposed to be. Then you change it. If you remember, or if you're told by maybe your third thermostat, you pull this thing out. It's covered in dust. You crush it up. You get dust all over your home, or you shred your garbage bag trying to get it in, and you toss it away and you get a new one. All that stuff is going to the landfill. There's a significant advantage to our solution in that the frame itself is reusable. So for the viewers who can't obviously see the video feed, this frame opens up like a pizza box, and inside there are electronics embedded into the frame, and you simply lay the filter inside this pizza box and you close it up and you insert it or remove it from your system. The beauty of that is that the filter is foldable. So when it's time to throw that away, you just fold it up into a couple, two folds, nice little square, you toss it into your kitchen garbage. There's no shredding, you know, there's no mess. All those contaminants stay in there, they're not going back into the air. And there's way less waste going into the landfill. There's no metal, there's no glue, there's no cardboard going in.
So for folks at home, and you asked the same question of me when we were talking before the interview, you said, when was the last time you changed your air filter? And I had changed it recently, but I had no idea how long it had been in there. Nor do I really, I don't think, have a good sense of what the right frequency is. I bet folks at home are in the same boat. Like, they really don't have a good idea for what the right frequency is. You guys are aiming to solve that with tech. Like, that's the kind of the underlying idea.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head there. We're taking the guesswork out of it. So because we have these sensors, the sensor inside the frame, we do this by measuring differential air pressure. So as air flows through the filter and dust collects on the filter face, the pressure between the front and the back increases. So we measure that difference, and then using our proprietary algorithms that we have running in the cloud, we can calculate exactly when it's time to change your filter. And we'll send you a notification. We'll send you an email. We'll send you a notification on your phone, and you know exactly when. And the key thing here is that it's really different for everybody. And it depends on what's going on inside the home. It could be pets, it could be dander, it could be dust or pollen. There could be a lot of windows open, dust coming from the inside if you live in a dusty part of the country. And your air filter could fill up really quickly, or conversely, it could take a very long time to fill up because maybe your house is very clean and you have really good clean air. So you don't need to be changing that filter every 6 months. Maybe you can go a lot longer.
So this brings me to my second question, which was the thing that I was most impressed with you guys' approach on. I hate seeing tech get thrown in the garbage simply because we've brought the cost down to the point where it can be thought of as disposable. I'm thinking of like RFID price tags and things like that that are actually like stuck on the banana or the product or whatever. And You guys seem to share that view. I was very curious how you were going to be able to make an IoT connected air filter at scale if we're throwing the tech in the garbage, but you're not. This is the frame is a carryover product. I don't know if that's the right word. And then the filter itself slides in, and that's the reusable part. Can you talk about that? And like, how did you arrive at that as the correct approach?
Others have tried this. Obviously, they've tried to put sensors on the filter. Of course, you throw those away. There's actually a solution on the market that you'd actually throw away the Bluetooth radio and the battery and everything every time you change your filter. So it's very wasteful. The second part about it is you can't put good quality electronics or higher expensive electronics if you're throwing them away every time. That was the major thing we're looking at right away. So you want to make this thing work really, really well. You need a way to keep those electronics around. Of course, the secondary benefit is that there's way less waste going into the landfill. And there's a shipping component, which I'll talk about later if we get an opportunity, and that gives us an advantage. But the meat of this is the sensory that lives inside the frame. So what we've developed is, I talked about the pizza box, the frame. In the middle of this pizza box, there's a rib that runs through the middle of it. And inside this rib, there's a spot where we can put what we call the smart module. And this device is about 9 inches long. It's 1 inch wide, about 1/2 inch tall. And if you were to cut a profile of it, it would look like a trapezoid. So it kind of just fits in the back of this. It's powered by two AAA batteries. And it has a BLE radio on it that's optimized for energy and an air pressure sensor on a very small circuit board. And it just clips on the back. You install this, or we install actually at the factory. You put this into your home, and you should be seeing well over a year battery life. We're hoping for a couple years battery life. So well longer than it would take if you actually have to change your filter.
Revisit that battery life for me. I remember you saying this was like years, maybe? Like two?
Yes, that's the goal. Obviously, longer is better. So we're guaranteeing at least a year of battery life. And then hopefully, because we've optimized the energy requirements of our sensing, we target between 2 and 3 year battery life.
I love it. Well, one of the things, I'm watching this Ozempic story play out, you know, so for listeners at home, we're recording this in end of March 24. And I'm wondering if this is finally going to bring about the age of weight-based flight pricing. So like the airplane seat, it's not just by class anymore, but also like step on the scale. And if you weigh 110 pounds, it's a different price than if you weigh 300 pounds. It feels like at some point, and I think that other countries have been here for a while, there's going to be a volume-based approach to rubbish, to trash. And it won't be just generate as much as you want for one flat cost. Where I live, they have already started this. They charge you by the size of trash can that you ask for. So I pay slightly less than folks with a bigger trash can. It feels like products like yours are well aligned with people that are a little bit oriented around generating less trash. I don't know that that's a huge mover in the short term, but I am rooting for that story. You know, I would love to see folks get a little bit more efficient. But mainly, this feels like an air quality play. Is that the main selling point as you guys think about this? Hey, listen, we're going to make the air inside your home consistently higher quality because we're going to let you know when it's time to change.
That's a certainly big aspect of the solution. So along with that reduction in waste, I will touch on that brief second. There's definitely less waste going into the landfill. We have an advantage of shipping costs as well. So to your point about, is this the age where you pay more depending on how much weight to fly in an airplane to ship these refills because they stack so well and they're not inside that cardboard frame? We can ship a lot more filter refills together than in a common solution with cardboard, because you're basically just shipping air. That lets us ship this to your door one at a time, for way less than an incumbent solution. So you can buy one Whoosh air filter. You don't have to buy three at a time like you would from Amazon or from another online supplier because of our advantage in shipping. It folds up into a nice little chip bag. If you can imagine, it's a Mylar bag that has air injected into it. And it's flat rate USPS shipping for us, which is a really cool aspect of this product.
It seems like a great model. You know, I mean, I don't think this is like dominating people's mind, but if they're looking for a way to shave some cost and drive their smart home forward a little bit, you guys are Canadian, Canada-based company. Is that correct?
We're Canadian by heritage, but actually our headquarters now is in South San Francisco on the West Coast here. So I'm Canadian myself. Also, founder and CEO Winston Mock is Canadian as well. But we're both here.
I was thinking of a company I do think is Canadian that is not IoT at all, but this company, Hinson Shaving, that is really picking a fight with Gillette on razor costs. So folks at home, Hinson Shaving, we'd obviously never get any sponsorship dollars from anybody. I don't have any dog in this hunt. But they just shipped me 7 years with the new razor for like the cost of, I don't know, 3 or 4 Mach 3s. And I'm like, my mind share is not dominated by the cost of my razors, but if you're telling me I can reduce by 99% the cost of that consumable, I'm interested. That's interesting to me. And I think people are still thinking a lot about inflation, trying to fight this. So it seems like you guys are well positioned there. So I got to ask you about the tech side. So you're head of IoT. You've done some cool things in your career. This is like a more complicated than it seems product. I know that from having talked to you before. Talk to me about Wrong Side of Impossible. Getting something like this right. We've done almost 100 episodes now. And the unifying theme is to make something look simple is incredibly difficult. Tell me you guys' story. What were some of the technical challenges you guys had to solve for to make this possible?
Yeah, I think when you talk about measuring air pressure, right? It doesn't sound like that should be too complicated, right? And just measure that, send it up through some radio up to the cloud and do some magic, you know, have a companion app and then you're done. So that was the naive thinking when we got into this whole thing. But we ran into a pretty big stumbling block early on. We had an early prototype that was using a flow-through-based air pressure sensor. And what this type of device does is it basically has a little resistive or heating element on it, and it measures the amount of time it takes for energy to dissipate off of that, you know, using airflow and a transfer function that they have. So it seemed great. We built the samples, got these prototypes, and installed them into people's homes to do some beta trials. And I was looking at the data, and pretty quickly after about 2 months, I saw something very strange in the fact that air pressure, differential air pressure between the front and the back of the filter was actually decreasing when you would expect it to be increasing because there should be more dust loading up on the filter. And that did not make any sense. So this was a really big problem. We went into the customer's home and we actually blasted compressed air through the sensor on the theory that there may be some dust buildup in there. And lo and behold, there was. After that, the sensor started behaving normally again, but this was a big problem. After 2 months, the sensor's getting clogged up. And of course, you don't replace your filter necessarily every 2 months. So do we have a product or we don't have a product? Very quickly, we had to come up with a solution. You know, dust, electronics, dust air filters, like we knew that was going to be a problem. Obviously, we should have thought about that ahead of time. So we had to react pretty quickly. What we had to do there is we had to build a test jig that would emulate the function of an HVAC system and allow us to iterate a lot quicker than 2 months, because you can't make a design change and wait 2 months for another one to iterate on that. So we built something called Big Blue, which was a 12-foot long by 2-foot square test jig in my garage. We painted it blue. I threw on a Raspberry Pi and some 20 milliamp control loop industrial control panel measurement stuff on it to measure air pressure, temperature, humidity. We also had an AC blower controllable through pulse width modulation. And I hired an intern. And if you're interested to know what more we had to do, I'm happy to talk about that as well.
I want to know what happened to the intern. Are they still with the company?
Ethan has graduated on to higher studies. So he's actually studying physics right now. So wishing the best of luck in school. But we brought him on board, and what we made him do was go buy a whole bunch of cans of compressed air, because what we wanted was those little red straws that come on the cans, like the WD-40 or the cans. That straw, you know, cost about a penny, but we needed it very quickly. And what we did with those is we jury-rigged a bunch of air intake manifolds, different types of geometry to sample air pressure inside the flow. And what we were trying to accomplish was A, trying to figure out exactly where is it optimum to sample on the airflow. And B, is there a way where we can develop a path that's dust resistant or a geometry for the sampling that's air resistant? Viewers can't see on the podcast, but there's actually a little protrusion that sticks out of the smart air filter. That's kind of like a little straw that samples airflow. The geometry, which is patented or patent pending, and it's very specialized to sample at a very specific place and allow for turbulent airflow to settle and also prevent dust from going in. But what Ethan had to do is he had to spend months in my garage doing all these experiments and collecting the data. A typical day for him would look something like, hey, Ethan, take one of the red straws, put it in and cut it down 5 millimeters at a time until there's nothing left. Run the experiment every time they do that and let me know where you want to go for lunch. I hope you don't freeze, buddy. So there was a certainly non-sexy part of this whole high-tech adventure trying to figure out a solution to something as simple as measuring air. And then there was the dust test, which was also another big interesting thing if you're curious about that.
I am curious. I'll say two things about the story so far. One, you mentioned 5 or 6 minutes ago in the beginning of it, we naively thought XYZ. One of the things that we see at Very, because by the time people get to Very, their product is at V2 or V3 or beyond. So I only see the people that have made it, you know, all the entrepreneurs that didn't make it. And mostly they're not entrepreneurs. They're a lot of times they're tinkerers. You know, they have an idea and they tinker around and they never quite get it there. And it does seem everybody naively thinks wrong things. 100% of people think that. It's what happens next to push through it, develop a solution, and not get stuck in that process, like in an endless loop of chasing perfection. And so the pattern matching that we see at Verri, because we only see the companies that made it, so there's a lot of selection bias there, but is folks with stories like yours. So tip of the cap to you guys for pushing through that. And the other thing I was going to say is tip of the cap to Ethan. That is the kind of trial by fire that really quickly drives interns in one of two directions. You know, they either make it through or they don't. So good for the kid for doing that. But tell us the air filter version of it as well.
So the big kind of do we have a product moment came, I would say, about a year and a half ago. We had to run this test. I called it the Bin Dirty, kind of Park Boys reference for anyone who's listening, because we were going to be throwing a lot of dust onto this filter. We had to make sure that this whole system was going to last what we think is reasonable, which is about 5 years on a worst case scenario. So roughly 4 filter changes per year. And that meant throwing something called Arizona Road Dust at this filter over and over and over again to make sure that we replaced that filter media and then the electronics would still work. The sensor wasn't getting clogged and nothing else funny was breaking. This stuff called Arizona Road Dust is actually an ASHRAE powder that is made specifically for testing air filters. It's very nasty stuff. The main component of which is something called carbon black, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's this really fine granulated carbon black powder along with some other cop fibers and things like that inside. So we sat Ethan down and told Ethan to wear long sleeves, gave him a set of goggles and some gloves and said, throw dust with this little dust spreader in here until it reaches a certain pressure threshold. Take it out, change the filter, and then do it all over again. And of course, we did this inside my garage. So all of my earthquake possessions inside the garage were at that point covered in something called carbon black, which made my wife not too happy. But the happy ending to the story is after about 20 trials, we pulled the sensor out. Everything's covered in this black, nasty goo, and then ran a final test with the clean filter. And it was reporting exactly the same pressure as it was before. Meaning that the solution we've developed with the manifold and the sampling and electronics that we developed were resistant to dust. And this whole thing should last as long as we claim inside the HVAC system. And that we literally popped a bottle of champagne. The cork and bottle are still sitting on my desk today.
So one of the things I wanted to ask is along the lines of what's next for you guys. And I'm particularly interested in what are some adjacent or enhanced opportunities that you guys are excited about that maybe you've discovered, hey, listen, we could also do this thing? Or does anything like that, is that on the roadmap for you guys?
Yeah, we're really excited about the applications here. We haven't really touched on the air quality piece of it, but we do a lot of monitoring with the air quality monitor. That's a companion device that's inside the home. And it can measure things like particulate matter in terms of dust, pollen, dander. It can measure the PM1, PM2.5, and PM10. Also temperature and humidity inside the home. So we really have a unique opportunity here to measure the air quality, what things might be affecting it. There's a real neat idea about sending the actual filters themselves in for analysis to see what contaminants are inside the home. And we do consider ourselves like a tech company, and this is really about data. This is a data play. We don't want to be in the business of making filters. So we've actually partnered with 3M to produce the filter media for us. We do a thermoforming and we do a bit of manufacturing to produce the filters and buckets inside the frame. But really what we're about is using that data and coming up with solutions for that consumer to better understand what's going on inside the home and to protect the quality of the air and the occupants inside the home through better education and knowledge of what's happening. So the mobile app also exposes a lot of data to the user in terms of air quality, not just about the filter life. And we're excited about being able to leverage that and develop new solutions for the consumers going forward, as well as additional markets. So a good example here would be like a laundromat. Well, we're partnering with a couple of individuals who run laundromats. Also, Airbnb is an interesting one. The laundromat case, where you've got a lot of a dusty environment and you've got a lot of air filters you need to change, we can help you with that. The Airbnb one's interesting, or anybody who's got short-term rentals, there's a pretty big problem with occupants smoking or vaping inside these units. And it costs a lot of money to obviously clean that after it's occurred. That's a big headache to these owners. So we're looking at ways to help them there, monitor the air quality inside of their units, see what's going on. So quite, I think, a green field here for us to explore in 2024 and going into 2025.
Is the filter within the dryer on you guys' radar at all? No dryer is more consistently clogged in my life than the closed dryer filter.
Yeah, it's actually come up a few times. People have suggested it. I'd love to do it. There's lots of smaller applications like this, the mini splits, filters. Mine's also always clogged. car filters, same thing. Like no one, you know, hardly anybody ever changes their cabin air filter on time or their engine air filter on time. So I think the tech works in a lot of spaces. It's just a matter of getting it in there economically.
On the car air filter, a topic, I'm kind of a car guy, near and dear to my heart. The difference between the car air filter, or as you call it, cabin air filter, the thing that's filtering the air coming into your car, is I can go physically check on the air filter in my home, which I often do. It's not the easiest thing in the world to look at your cabin air filter and do a spot check. And then if you lose track of when it last, usually when you get your oil changed, they're asking you, hey, do you want to change that out? But if you can't remember, then you don't, I guess you just default to saying yes. And so you're either over changing it or under changing it, but you're not getting an accurate read on whether or not it needs to be changed. And that person doesn't really want to interface with you a lot. You know, they just want to know, like, check these boxes. We're going to go do this work on your car. That is a speed-oriented business that wants to get you in and out with very minimal interface. So yes, please move into that space immediately and help us.
Yeah, they're also making a lot of money off those cabin air filters too. I'm racking them up pretty good.
Yes, I bet. All right, well, cool. That's a growth area. Okay, last question. You're head of IoT. You've been in the game for a while. You got a great resume. You've been attached to some big names. Who out there in IoT land do you think not enough people are talking about?
There's one really interesting company that I don't think enough people are talking about, Humble Network. They are developing a solution that can take existing BLE hardware and then transmit data to outer space, literally through a fleet of custom satellites that they are building. And I think this is going to be quite revolutionary. There's no special radio you're going to have to buy. You can throw technology that exists already on a battery-operated device and stick this in all kinds of things. It could be containers you're tracking. It could be a device that's off in the forest, and it will beam data up to their network, and you can receive it through the cloud. I think this is fantastic. I don't know why enough people are talking about this. I think it's going to really change the game for IoT because it opens up a whole new paradigm for remote sensing and data collection.
I love it. Well, Mark, that's it for today. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Ryan. I've enjoyed it, and I hope we get the opportunity again.
Yeah, we'd love to have you back. And for those at home, thank you for joining. Join us next time as we meet with another executive and talk about things that went wrong on a journey that went right. Folks, before we wrap, if you're out there trying to figure out how to get started with your IoT project, I've got some news. Very Technology has just published an ebook called How to Choose the Right IoT Company. It's a guide designed to help you ask the right questions, narrow down your search, and find the right partner. If you're interested, you can find out more on our website at verytechnology.com. Over the Air is presented by Very, your trusted source for cutting-edge technology solutions. For the latest updates and exclusive content, be sure to follow Over the Air on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else great podcasts are found. On behalf of the team here at Very, thanks for listening.